Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yash Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you, Via. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 1Q FY25 earnings conference call of Ahluwalia Contracts Limited. From the management today, we have Mr. Shobhit Uppal, Deputy Managing Director, and Mr. Satbeer Singh, CFO of the company. I will now hand over the conference to the management team for their opening remarks, after which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ahluwalia Contracts (India) Limited, a construction company, has announced financial results for Q1 FY25. During Q1 FY25, the company has achieved a turnover of 919.35 crores and PAT of 30.60 crores in comparison to a turnover of 763.61 crores and a PAT of rupees 49.73 crores during Q1 FY24. The turnover of the company has increased by 20.39% during Q1 FY25 in comparison to Q1 FY24. EPS of the company for Q1 FY25 is 4.57 rupees as compared to rupees 7.42 in Q1 FY24. During Q1 FY25, the company's EBITDA margin is 6.58% as compared to 10.83% and a PAT margin of 3.33% as compared to 6.51% in the corresponding period. Net order book of the company as on 30th June 2024 is 13,143.72 crores to be executed in the next 2.5 to 3 years. Total order inflow during FY25 is till 30th June 2,727.93 crores, from 1st July till date 2,217.61 crores. So total order inflow during FY25 till date is 4,945.54 crores. Thank you. We are open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening and thanks.
Hi, Mohit. Good evening.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question was on this margin in this particular quarter. It was 6.5%, if I'm not wrong. Can you just tell us why there was such a low margin this particular quarter, and how do you think the balance here to pan out? If I remember correctly, I think we had guided for 11% margin for FY25.
So Mohit, there are a couple of reasons, three, four reasons for reduced margin. One primarily is reduced turnover in this quarter. We have been impacted first by the elections. Then, so pretty much May and June have been heavily impacted, reduced manpower on account of election. Then the CSTM project, that for a variety of reasons, the turnover that we had anticipated or planned for has not happened. We have done a turnover of about 30 crores from CSTM in this quarter. That is on account of design finalization from the client for a lot of changes because the design which was given, or the concept which was given, was not as per the bylaws. That had to be totally revamped. And then there were tree-cutting issues in the buildings, which were greenfield buildings there. Then June has been a write-off, especially in Mumbai on account of rains. July also now, or even in the rest of the country. So these are a few reasons. And then, our increased staff cost, which is due to the fact that, to execute the projects that we have in hand, we've obviously incorporated or taken in more staff. So that has led to an increased staff cost. So these are the reasons. And then there is there are a couple of write-offs totaling 6.20 crores, where a couple of our clients have been taken to NCLT. So we've had to put in those write-offs. So, the sum total or aggregate of all these reasons has led to reduced margin. Did I answer your question?
Yes, it did partly, sir. What do you think about the entire fiscal year?
So, I think I do remember mentioning last time also that quarter one and quarter one will be impacted by elections, and quarter two to some extent by monsoons. H2 is something, Q3 and Q4 is something traditionally where, the run rate is higher and the margins are also higher. So we still anticipate that we will cross a double-digit margin in the full financial year. Q2 is also expected to be muted because monsoons have played havoc, as I said, not only in Mumbai or Maharashtra, but July has been quite muted in other states also.
Understood. And my second question is on the labor issue. Are you facing a labor issue? Because we have heard from various developers that there are labor issues due to elections. Is the labor issues has got over, or you didn't face any challenges as far as the labor availability is concerned?
No. Two parts I will answer this question. Yes, elections impacted labor in a big way. As I said, May and June, we were virtually working at about 40% labor across pan-India basis. This obviously now has improved the situation. But we expect that labor is going to be, or labor shortage, or skill shortage is going to be a perennial problem. With so many projects having been launched, and continuously developers are launching new projects, infrastructure pace picking up once the new government is formed, labor shortage is here to stay. So we will have to find out ways and means to combat this. Collectively, all the constituents of the ecosystem will have to come together to see how we can mitigate this problem.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Betul Aksa. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, I would like to remind the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sunny Roy, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I'm audible?
Yes, Sunny, you're audible. Hi.
Yeah. I just wanted to know reasons for the high subcontract work charges. I mean, it's about 40% year-on-year increase against a 20% increase in revenue. So what led to that high subcontracting work charges?
Just a second, Sunny. I'll come back to you. So this is again primarily part of the subcontracting work. This has two parts. One is subcontract with material, and the other is subcontract which we give on labor rate, say for to shuttering contractors or bar binding contractors or stone contractors, which is labor. So part of this includes the labor also, and due to the reduced turnover, that is why this cost is higher.
Okay. So going forward, you expect this to normalize going forward?
As I said, in H2, it will. This will continue to be a little higher in Q2 because, as I said, 50% of this quarter has already gone and monsoons have impacted us quite badly. But we expect that this will go down to normal levels in the second part of the financial year.
Okay, sir. And given the labor shortages and labor issues, Do you think, I mean, the way we are bidding aggressively for the projects and all, we should get to that double-digit EBITDA margin going forward, I mean, for the future?
Yes, we think we will.
In spite of that...
Based on the order book in hand, as also the rates that we have managed to get, we factored in the increased costs. And these new projects that we won, say about 4,500 crores or 5,000 crores in this financial year, I think in Q3 and Q4, these projects will take off and will contribute to an increased margin.
Okay, okay. And sir, I mean, how are we in the, what is the thinking view regarding the future bidding for the future projects? I mean, we should be a bit aggressively now that we have already bagged 4,000 plus in this financial year orders. So how are we bidding? Will we bid aggressively or will be much more conservative?
We are not bidding aggressively. Even in this quarter, we have not bid aggressively.
Okay, okay, okay. That's it. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rohan.
Sorry, sir. Shravan here. Pardon me, sir.
I also was wondering whether you have a brother who's asking a question on your behalf. So,
just to confirm, when we say that Q2 will also be muted due to monsoon, so can we see the similar kind of a margin, or it would be a close to 8-9% kind of a number?
Margin will, we anticipate the margin will go up, because as I said, May and June were almost total write-offs on account of election and rain. So elections are behind us now. Labor has started, the labor position has started going up. So we anticipate our turnover to go up slightly. And, there is some noise in the background.
Yeah, sir. Is it fine?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. So, you know, and there is in this quarter, July has been a write-off, but I think September, CSTM also, the progress should pick up substantially. So there will be an increase, but not a substantial increase in the margin. But H2, I think, will see a substantive increase.
So in H2, then we should have a 10.5 to 11% kind of a margin. So will that run rate?
About 11% in H2.
Yeah. So then that run rate will continue in FY26. So for FY26, how one can look at?
It should because as I in an answer to the earlier question. No, we are not bidding aggressively. Our focus, which I mentioned last time, has shifted more to the private sector. There is greater demand for timely delivery, quality delivery. There are only a handful of contractors in the private sector side. The competition is less. The rates that we are able to get are far better than the government projects. So, I'm quite hopeful that this run rate, which we are expecting in H2, will continue to FY26 also.
Okay, and in terms of the revenue guidance that maintains, we maintain the same 20% kind of a number for 25 and for
15 to 20%. Yeah.
And for FY26 also, similar run rate can be maintained.
Yes.
And then inflow, how much more now we are looking at? So what's the bid pipeline? And so 4,950 odd crore we have received. So how much more now we can look at?
I think we can look at about 2,500 to 3,500 crores.
Okay. And the pipeline remains the same for 5,000, 6,000 crore kind of a pipeline?
Yes.
And some balance sheet number I needed, inventory, debtors, creditors, mobilization advance, unbilled revenue.
Yes. This is debtors 811 crore.
Okay.
And retention is 327 crore, including non-current. Mobilization advance.
Okay. 1 crore. Sorry, sir. Mobilization is?
541 crore.
541. Okay.
541.
Sorry. 541. Yeah. 541. And unbilled revenue is?
First listen, trade payable 706 crore.
706 trade payable. Okay.
354 crore.
Sorry sir, 354 is what?
Inventory.
Inventory, 354 is inventory, okay.
Unbilled revenue is 489 crore.
489 is unbilled revenue.
Yes.
And gross debt and cash is?
Gross? Debt is 100 crore.
Debt? 100 crore. And cash and cash balance?
Cash and cash balance, all for a moment. Cash balance is 248 crore. And bank balance is 456 crore.
456.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted an update on a few big ticket projects. So for Gemstone Jewelry, when do we expect to start the work?
Work will be started in about 3 months time.
And what kind of revenue are we targeting in the first year?
In the first, sorry?
In FY25?
FY25, we are targeting a revenue of about 125 to 150 crores.
And it should be a material number in FY26.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, the second project is for CSMT. So given the muted first quarter and also muted first 2 months of second quarter, what would we be targeting for FY25 and 26 from there?
We are targeting in FY25, we are targeting between 450 to 500 crores. And in FY26, we are targeting about 1,000 crores.
And so you were talking about around 100 crores per month from second half. So that is also not the case in FY26?
Yes, that will be from FY26. In this, as I mentioned earlier on in the call, you know, virtually the entire design had to be revamped because the client had hired an international agency to do the concept, and they had not taken into account the local bylaws. So that has been that we had to redo it totally, which the client has now accepted, and work you know has just taken off on the ground. But rains have impacted June and July, so we are as I said in H2, the progress would be substantial, almost to the tune of about more than 50 crores every month, and yes, run rate about 100 crores in FY26.
So this redesigning, does it impact our cost or margin for the project?
No, we've tried to optimally design the project, keeping in mind the various parameters or various items that were there in the original design. If at all some specifications are changing, for that the client will pay it as an extra item.
Okay. So in the animal husbandry project, the execution was a bit softer in the first quarter. So earlier we were targeting to complete it by next year, first quarter. So now does it get delayed?
Yes. We have now the almost 95% of the land. Because in this project already a university existed. So by and by, they were vacating the old building, which we were dismantling and which we have to dismantle and construct new buildings. So almost 90% area has been handed over to us. So progress there also will pick up now. It's already picked up, but it will pick up substantially.
Any payment challenges from particular states given the election?
So yeah, there were challenges.
But now there is movement in Bihar also. I think funds from the center have also started flowing. So we expect with the Basu project, the veterinary project, funding has not been an issue till now also. But we've seen funding issues on their medical colleges and hospitals, which the feeling on the ground is that maybe in a month, month and a half's time, our stuck payments should start coming in. And there is only about 10% of these jobs left, Chapra and Nalanda, which we should complete in this financial year.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on Darbhanga and Varanasi airports, which you have won recently, when will the work start for those two?
So both the projects, designing is happening. Our interaction of our design teams with AAI has started. And we hope to break ground on both the projects in about 2 months' time.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the.
Hi,
sir. Sir, my question was regarding the labor shortage problem.
Your voice is not clear.
Is it better now?
It's slightly muffled, but go ahead. I can make out what you're saying.
Okay. So my question was regarding this labor shortage problem. As you mentioned, it is a perennial problem, and it is here to stay. So the question is in two parts. So first, in our existing orders, at the time of bidding, we would have expected X cost of labor cost, and now it has been going up. So how do you make up for it? And second, for the new projects, how do you factor in this labor shortage issue?
Yeah, it's a good question. Out of the existing projects, some projects, labor factor or labor cost is definitely going up, right? Has gone up. So that has impacted our margins. Labor shortage has also impacted our margins. In the existing jobs that we have in hand as a part of our portfolio, some jobs have escalation even for labor, so which are covering these costs. But some jobs do not have this labor escalation clause. So yeah, that is what has impacted our margins. Going forward, when we are calculating our pricing or doing our pricing and submitting our bids, based on the increase that we have seen over the past 1 year, we are extrapolating that and building that into our pricing.
Okay. Got it. That answers my question. One last question was regarding this. I heard somewhere that a large hospital is being redeveloped in Mumbai, and we have been one of the bidders over there. Can you confirm?
Hello?
Yeah, Sion Hospital, Mumbai.
Yeah, we are doing phase one, and yes, we have bid for the phase two also.
Okay. And will this be a large contract, sir, say north of 1,000 crores?
It is a large contract, yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir, for answering.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rishi Kothari from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. And I had a couple of questions. First was, in terms of the target that we are concentrating from public sector to private sector contracts, so how much margin difference does it make to go for a public to private PAT margin?
How much margin? There is a, if all goes well, there is a difference of a couple of percentage points. Given today's scenario, where we are seeing increased competition in the government sector and private sector, the contracts being more complex, with high-rise buildings coming into play, with limited competition there, as things stand today, over the next 1 year, I feel that there should be a couple of percentage point difference.
And we do have the technology and capability to execute complex contracts in private sector, right?
We're already doing it. We've done it in the past. We're doing it now.
Okay. And my second question is, I read somewhere in one of the industry reports that we as a company are also involved data center segment. Is it true, or if yes, what exactly are we looking at?
Yeah, it is true. We are doing data centers, Adani, Google, RBI, some of the larger data centers in the country we're doing. But I mentioned in my last call that this is not a focus area for us.
Okay. So that's not a focus area eventually also, or?
Not really. It takes up a lot of bandwidth. We feel that the margins are not commensurate that we focus or develop this segment especially. Having said that, one-off or the other data center, we'll continue to do if it comes our way, but it's not a focus segment for us.
Okay, got it. And in terms of the private segment, we are on the position of what, around 40-50% in between. So what's the target of getting that private sector more increase from public sector contract? So any target that you have in
mind? In the long run, 50-50.
In the long run, 50-50. Okay. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Uttam Kumar Srimal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, sir, what is the fixed price contract in our current order book currently?
24%.
24%. Okay, sir. And sir, with 24 or 26?
24. 24.
24. 24. Okay, okay. And sir, given this order book of 13,000 crore, this includes the current 4,900 crore that we have won, or this is separate from that?
No, so this 13,000-odd crores is till 30th of June. So if you were to add these jobs of 2,200 crores which have come after that, our total order book will be about 15,500 crores.
15,500 crores. Okay, sir. And sir, any L1 currently where you are in terms of bidding and all? Any L1 orders?
No, because the bids which have been bunged in over the last couple of months, these are primarily private sector bids.
Okay. And sir, all these biddings have been done in the range of EBITDA margin in the range of 11%-12% or less than that, new orders that you are bidding for?
Yeah, the last 3 months, 3 to 4 months, yes. The EBITDA margin, that is what the target is. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir, that's all from my side, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prem Khurana.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So I have three questions. Hi. So the first question was, I mean, when I look at our order backlog today, I mean, we have two very large orders in our order backlog, I mean, exceeding 2,000 crore rupees each. Would you say, I mean, was a conscious decision to kind of try and scale up, I mean, average project size so as to try and consolidate number of sites and also, I mean, to address this labor issue that you spoke about because you won't be required to kind of spread too thin across number of sites? Or is it just, I mean, these opportunities were available and you went and bid for these, or I mean, was a conscious decision on our part to consolidate number of sites?
No, it is. It's a consolidated, sorry, it's a we want to consolidate. We want the average ticket size to go up. And this has been a conscious decision, and we've been kind of building towards it over the last 4 to 5 years. We've built in-house capabilities that an EPC company has to have or should have. We have different disciplines where we've developed expertise other than core and shell also. And that has led us to being able to qualify for larger jobs, both in the government and the private sector. So yes, it's been a conscious decision.
Sure. In terms of, I mean, the risk profile, so how do you differentiate between, let's say, smaller order, multiple orders, wherein even if one site stops, I mean, you still have three, four sites still continuing and giving you some numbers? So do we tend to build higher contingencies when you get to have these sort of larger-sized projects? And also because of the fact that, I mean, theoretically, I mean, at least the competition also should be lower on, I mean, lower for these sort of larger projects.
So there are a few factors that we focus in when we bid for a job.
aggressively or otherwise. If you were to track our company's geographical growth of our company's geographical footprint, you would see that, you know, it's been a bit of an organic growth, planned growth, and we've tried to hedge our risks precisely by doing what you said, you know, having multiple projects in a particular geographical location, right? So that is how, you know, in each of the states that we are working in, 17 states that we are working in, we have multiple projects. And, you know, if I were to give you an example of, say, even Haryana or Gurgaon or NCR, within a radius of about 15-20 km, we would be doing nearly 20 million sq ft. So obviously, the overheads can be spread, the cost can be reduced. So it's a conscious decision, yes, and there are a few steps that we take to bring down the cost. Yeah.
Sure. And any thoughts on distribution to shareholders? We have 700 crore rupees plus sort of cash balance on our balance sheet, and our operations continue to generate positive OCF, which essentially would mean, I mean, we would keep on generating more funds. I mean, any thoughts on, I mean, do we have any number in mind wherein, I mean, if the cash balance was to cross that number, you would start distributing more? I know, I mean, we've already started giving out dividends, but then the number is still very small.
So yeah, as we, you know, I explained last time that the company to you know build up its inherent capabilities is spending money by way of increased mechanization. Also, you know, we have undertaken digital transformation exercise, one part of which is, you know, implementing SAP along with certain other IT initiatives. So all this will entail an expenditure. We are trying to make the company ready for a quantum jump, right? So Abhi, you know, we would continue to be a dividend-paying company. We haven't thought beyond that.
Sure.
As far as, you know, distributing funds to the shareholders is concerned.
Sure. And Abhi, sir, how much are we planning to spend towards CapEx this year? How much is already spent in Q1?
Please ask the question.
CapEx. CapEx.
CapEx is 50 crore. CapEx, 54 crore.
54 crore?
54.
54.
How much do we intend to spend over the balance 9 months?
Pardon?
How much more are we planning to spend this year, sir? 54 is what you already spent, right, in Q1?
Already spent. We would be spending, in addition to this, we would be spending about 120 crore.
Sure. And just one last, I mean, small clarification. If we were supposed to receive some money from Emaar towards that settlement, right, in the month of August, so has that money come or it is yet to come?
That date is 31st of August, so I'm not in a position to comment.
Sure. No worries.
But yeah, it's a signed and sealed agreement, so.
Sure, sir. So thank you and all the very best of you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Next question will be from the line of Mr. Sunny Roy, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the follow-up. I was just seeing your unexecuted order book, and the contribution from the hotels is only about 1.5% or 195 crore. So is this a conscious decision, I mean, not to focus on this hotel sector much, or it's just like that?
It is, because what the hoteliers are doing, the size of the projects that are coming doesn't excite us. Secondly, you know, the hoteliers are cannibalizing these projects. So it all comes down to scale. We feel that it takes up a lot of bandwidth, so we are not looking at this segment also very favorably.
Okay. And sir, lastly, given the buoyancy in the residential real estate market, don't you think this 13.7% in the residential market is, I mean, we can go much higher, or you want to keep it like around this only, less than 15%?
No, no, it will go up. It will cross 20%. As I said, the private sector, the share of the total pie will also go up to about 50%. That's what we are targeting and hoping to maintain an equal balance between private and public. So yeah, today the focus is on residential and commercial. So yeah, this will also go up.
Okay, sir. That's good to know. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Sunny.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ketan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my question is on working capital. With big ticket size wins of orders recently, are you looking at any working capital issues, or how are you planning for working capital?
No, we are not looking at, I don't think there's going to be any working capital issues. As I said, we now focus more on the private sector. So with the demand and RERA coming into play, some of the developers that we are working with, blue chip developers, cash flows don't seem to be an issue. I think all the projects that we've taken on and are bidding for, they would need, as per RERA, they would have to be handed over in about three and a half years. So there is a robust demand for these residential units, commercial units. So I don't see a working capital issue. Plus the reserves are healthy. So we are focused on it is virtually a zero debt company. Whatever debt is there, little debt is there, we are focused on reducing it, not increasing it. If that answers
your question. Understood, sir. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. So you indicated that the capex would be around 175 crores for the entire year FY25. So this should further grow in 26-27, or it may come down given the sharp growth in FY25?
In 26, it will come down.
Any ballpark number around 120-130 odd crores?
It should be. Earlier on, I projected about 125 crores yearly. So, it should be in that ballpark for FY26.
Okay. And so, secondly, out of a mob advance of around 540 odd crores, what would be the interest bearing portion of it?
54%.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Vaibhav.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Parikhit from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sumit sir. My first question is on this gems and jewelry project. So I just wanted to understand, sir, who's funding this project and is the financial closure achieved in this project?
So this is on the lines of the Bharat Diamond Balls, the BDB project. It's a conglomerate of the gems and jewelry people. I think Vikas is connected on the line. Vikas, would you like to take this question?
If you're okay. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, Vikas, we can hear you, sir. So my question was on who's funding the gems and jewelry part? Because in the past we have seen in SDB there has been challenges because the project was funded by selling the real estate shops and other things to the
No. So this is an autonomous body under the Ministry of Economic Affairs, and the project is funded by a group of wealthy jewelers across from India, basically based out of Gujarat, and some of them are from South, and there is some portion of equity with the government of India also. And the state government is also participating in terms of, so it's an autonomous, but it has a board. So there is a board member from the state, there is a board member from the center, and this is. And
so it doesn't involve like the money coming in is not contingent to the sales of the units in this park.
No.
Irrespective of that, you will keep getting your payments like typically.
Yeah. So it is dependent on the board, how much board clears and, budgets and things like that.
Okay, got it. My second question is on the southern markets again, which I keep asking every time. So we're not seeing any significant ramp up in that market in terms of private orders. So what is the thought process right now? Because you did allude that the RERA is now there in place and looking to ramp up. So how do we see the pickup happening in the southern markets in terms of new order flow coming in?
We've recently bagged a contract from Birla Realty. It's a company of the Kumar Mangalam
Birla's table. We have a couple of private bids which have gone out. I would not name the developers, not like to name them. So we are slowly growing in the southern market also. Our focus areas are Bangalore, where we have a regional office, and Hyderabad.
So the biggest issue is that, sir, since I track that sector, so what I hear from the entire supply chain developers is that they want someone who will stick around. So in terms of business development, what kind of commitments you're giving more of a long-term presence in South now because you're making a comeback? You used to be there in the past. So how much confident the developed community is that you will stay here for a long term?
So that is reflected by the order win that we've got now, Birla. Birla has a significant presence there. They've acquired large tracts of land, and it is one of the few corporatized real estate development company. And we have, we've obviously in the private sector, you know, they invite you to bid. So we're bidding for three or four other large players there. We've also bid for a couple of private sector hospital projects, large projects. So, but from our end, we also don't want to grow indiscriminately. Given our experience there the last time that we were around, we feel that it's better to take a cautious approach. More so when our belly is full, more so when we have a healthy order book.
So, a question on the margin. So, I mean, every quarter we talk about double digit and some of the other factors impact us performance. This quarter there was, I think, a one-off plus host of other reasons which you gave. And you also said that new orders have better margins. The competitive intensity is reducing, which is still not reflecting in margins. We used to historically 12 to 13. We are now high single digit. And we have been like every quarter the margins have been very volatile. And even in this year, you said that maybe you'll end up with the close to about double-digit margins and next to 11%. So what gives you confidence that worst is behind and either in terms of pricing, in terms of execution? So how do you think, I mean, when do you think you'll be confident that you can say now we are there and now probably these are the bottom margins?
So our healthy order book, you know, this will start reflecting in increased margins. And this is not something I'm saying now. I said it during the last con call also, that H2 traditionally, the margins, the turnover, the top line as well as margin is always higher. And I had predicted what everybody had said, elections are going to impact both the productivity and the margins. That is what happened. Monsoons have also impacted our production in the last couple of months. CSTM, I mentioned the reason if you were there on the call earlier.
Yeah.
So all this now seems we should, in the second half of this financial year, we should have put this behind us. Labor, while the position on the ground is improving, it is always better in H2. But that will continue to be a bit of an issue in terms of, because there is a skill shortage, right? So, but now that is something which the entire ecosystem is aware. What the contractors have been saying for the last couple of years, that this is an epidemic waiting to happen. Now, while we struggle with labor on the ground, this is something which the developers or the clients have realized. The government is also beginning to realize. So the ecosystem, all the constituents are coming together to try and work together to mitigate this problem by standardizing design, you know, by the clients also, especially in the private sector, agreeing to compensate for escalation. So all this will, we feel, yield results going forward. But labor shortage is here to stay. Let me qualify that.
This is the last question. I think you mentioned about some NCLT. You've taken a couple of plans to NCLT. I think you mentioned about 7.2 crores of one-off. What is the need? So 7.2 is the number?
6.2.
Okay. And so what is the nature of this NCLT? Any more negative surprises to come in from one-offs to the rest of the other book, or you have provided everything now?
Look, we can't really say. What happens is that, you know, if out of the blue, a client is taken to NCLT, right? I had mentioned in my last call also that there should not be any more surprises. But this is a surprise. If there are certain clients who we feel are going to pay off. But if one or the other of their creditors takes them to court or takes them to NCLT, then we have to make a provision in our balance sheet. Some of them in the long run we still may feel will honor their commitments, but we have to make provisions.
Okay, sir. Sure. Thank you. Those are my questions and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ketan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one follow-up question. The IMAR receivables which will receive in FY25, will it be booked as other income or how it will be recognized?
In financial year 24?
No, you think job aayega, where will we book it? Other income.
So that's already booked.
Future inflow, that's what I
know. That's regarding IMAR, you are asking about?
IMAR.
Yes, sir.
That has all in exceptional gain that has been recognized.
Exceptional items. Okay.
In financial 24.
Achha, okay. Already recognized. So there is no other exceptional items to be recognized in FY25.
Now at present we are basically that amount is 124 crore is reflecting in outstanding. That includes in debtors basically.
Oh, yes. Understood. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Gandhi from Claudidale Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Hi, sir. The government's efforts are towards making India a developed country. So there will be a lot of state-of-the-art construction buildings or structures will be on focus to build. How big do you think this opportunity will be? Because there is a lot of work to be done for modernizing the infrastructure. So, can you share your thoughts about this? And I understand that we are taking a measured growth approach, but if conditions warrant more growth, are we looking for higher order inflows than currently projected?
So, I will not be able to give a specific answer. I'll give you a couple of general replies. Yes, buildings are becoming more complex. Based on our expertise of having delivered large building projects and continuing to deliver projects, we feel we are in a unique position to handle such projects. So like, say for instance, we have done high-rise buildings in Mumbai. Now you see every other launch in NCR, in Gurgaon especially, is a project which is in excess of 40-45 stories. So with our experience of having executed these jobs, we are continuing to build on this experience. We are continuing to take on more mechanization, and as I mentioned earlier, the digital tools that are available to us wherein we can go to the client and offer an entire bouquet of services, we are doing that. So yes, we are in a unique position and we continue to develop our company to be able to handle more and more complex jobs. Does that make sense? Have I answered your question?
The second part was if the conditions warrant for more growth, are we looking for higher order inflows than currently projected? I mean, we are just, you know, I mean, more 3,000 crore orders, you know, you are expecting during the year. So if conditions warrant for more orders, let's say 7,000 crore, do we have capacity or are we looking for such kind of thing then?
At the moment, we are proceeding with a degree of caution, especially keeping in mind that, we have a healthy order book. B, we feel that all the efforts that the various constituents are making of this ecosystem to overcome the labor issue, but it will still take some time. So we are proceeding cautiously.
All right. And just for clarity, do you think this India Jewelry Park project in Mumbai is politically sensitive project? I mean, do you see any possibility of slow execution if the state government changes?
Mr. Vikas Aluwalia will answer this question. Vikas, over to you.
Hi. No, this is not a political question. This is not a per se political driven project. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So this is it has really no influence of politics on it.
All right.
I don't.
All right. Thanks.
Like I said, it's an autonomous body, and largely the members of this body are private.
I think one of the deputy CMs posed this project a lot, so that's why I was asking that if a slow execution in the government changes, but that's fine. Okay, right. Thank
come
you.
Again, come again. Deputy CM what? I didn't hear that.
One of the deputy CM, I think, is pushing for the project more. I mean, that's why I was asking that if the
that is because this project is scheduled to create at least 40,000 jobs in the area,
right?
Or maybe more. So that is why they must be doing like that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Parvez Kazi, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Parvez.
Thanks for taking my question. Sorry, I joined the call a little late, so please pardon if you have answered this question. Earlier, we had alluded to facing payment issues in some of the states like Bihar, etc. Now, after the election, what is our thought process about taking state government funded projects, whether in Bihar or in other states?
So our thought process continues to be the same, Parvez. We've had this interaction before. We are wary of states which are at loggerhead with the center and are cash trapped. That is why we do not have any new government projects in Bengal. Bihar, the project, we were waiting and watching. Now, with the same government being there at the center and being a part of the state government, there is the fund position seems to be improving. So, while over the last 1 year or so, we had not bid very aggressively, we in fact not bid at all for state government projects there, but we are open now. So we see the position improving in Bihar. Assam has been a focus state for us. We have projects in excess of about 2,000 crores. And the fund position there also seems to be okay since both at the state and the center, the same government is there. So it's pretty much the same policy, that we are taking forward.
Sure. And your views about bidding for projects in Andhra, especially the Amravati capital city,
not a focus for us. I did mention to one of the participants who'd asked this earlier as to what our approach down south is. We are more focused on the private sector there. That also we aim to grow cautiously, our past experience being what it was last time around. Government projects down south are not a focus area for us.
Sure. And beyond the near-term issues on the margins, labor availability front, over the medium term, let's say FY26 and 27, where do we expect our EBITDA margins to be?
Double digit.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for participating. Whatever questions, follow-up questions are there, so we'd be willing to take them. You can write to us. Thank you so much, and talk to you again for the next quarter. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.